It's going to be a hell of a meeting today here. I want to remind you, we do have a site, Experience the Big Book. If you miss any of the meetings.org, all the podcasts are on there. I've written quite a few thoughts on recovery, probably over 30. I'm going through the steps and writing thoughts on each step, and I did step one this week. I'm going to do step two this next week. Let's see what else. Today, it will make note of it because we'll have the episode where we start the big book over, but this will be the 10th time, and we'll see how long it takes us. I think it took us about more than a year the last time on Saturday. We just finished it. We finished it last week. This is our 10th time through the book on Saturday. Started the meeting over 9 years ago. And so I think I've done 12 or 1300 of these. Every time I do it, I try to see something new. I don't have notes, and more is always revealed. And we're starting the book over, and it's kind of exciting for me. This book, I don't worship the book, but I worship the message. And somebody said this is a treasure map, the book. It's a treasure, I think, but it's a treasure map. And the treasure for me is to have a relationship with my Creator, that I can able to live a life of some peace and serenity. I don't have to be run by my character defects anymore or my alcoholism. I have a treatment for it. I have a plan of action that if I do these spiritual exercises, things go really well. And I look back to when I started this meeting, and I can't tell you how much things have changed for me, you know, from how I saw it then. And we're starting the book over. I think AA has changed. I try to find meetings where people are in the book when I don't go to this meeting, and they're in the steps. I went to a discussion meeting this week, and I didn't think I heard the big book mentioned once. I heard God maybe once or twice, but I heard a lot about meetings and the program. And people talk about the program at these meetings, and they're really talking about the fellowship. But the program is the steps. And AA is the steps. That's all AA is the steps. And it's a fellowship of people who are supposedly working the steps together in the fellowship of the Spirit, trying to walk hand in hand in the path to God. And it's changed. It's nothing good or bad about it, but we want to carry the message. And the message is that I can have a spiritual awakening. I can have a relationship with my Creator, which will solve my problems as the result of the steps. In the original manuscript, it says as a result of this course of action. And we're going to look at the book. I'm going to look at the covers, the first edition today, and some of the things. In the next week, I'm going to look at the original manuscript. I have it here. And I'm going to look at some information to put the book in perspective. It's a historical work, but it's a spiritual work. And the more I study it, the more is revealed. I think that's what makes it a spiritual book. I've been studying the Bible. Good book, recommend it. I think it's a pretty good book. And it's actually great. And it tells me all the time how I should be, what I should be, and how I should be. And when I read it, I think of the big book and the steps on how I accomplish that. And so I think this book is a set of principles, spiritual in nature, which is a course of action that helps me be how God wants me to be in the big, big book. And so I think they can be studied in parallel. I think it's really great when you study the scriptures and you see how the steps help you accomplish what they're talking about in the scriptures. And so we're going to look at the big book. It was published in 1939 in the spring. And this is the original. This is how it is. I got this at Dr. Bob's house. This is a copy of the original big book. I bought about three or four of them and gave them away to some of my buddies. And they made it big. They made it colorful so people would see it. It's interesting, the most popular book the year this was printed was Gone with the Wind. And it sold for $3.25, which was a lot of money in those days. And the big book, they sold it for $3.50, but you could get your money back. The history of how this book is put together is just, it's really mind-boggling when you look at all the circumstances that came in putting this together. But when they decided, when they sat at Dr. Bob's house, and they still have the original kitchen table, in 1937, Bill W. and Dr. Bob sat at that table, and they said, you know, we've got about 30 or 40 people that are sober. And they're not talking about people who are having a bad day when they came here. They're talking about people who were completely defeated. And it was a different time. We were coming out of the Depression. It still existed. Things were really tough in America at those point. And they said, you know, we have something here, and we should put it together and put it in a book and put our course of action together. And then, of course, Bill W. had this idea that we would have trained missionaries in hospitals, and we would use the revenues of the book to build these hospitals all over the country, and we'd have trained missionaries to carry the message. And Dr. Bob probably said, good idea, Bill, but let's just write the book. And they had a meeting to decide if they were going to do the book. And there were 25 or 27 people there, and they voted, and it passed by one vote. Think about that. And this was in late 1937. And then Bill W., and it changed, because the focus then became on, let's write a book, spiritual in nature, so people can recover. They gave up the missionaries, and it became a focus of how they could put all this information together. I talked in one of my podcasts, you can find it on the site, on the Hand of God, how everything came together so that these people came together. And then I talked about the Oxford group on one of the podcasts too, where they got a lot of the principles. So the first chapter he wrote was Bill's story, and there's a solution. He wrote those, submitted it to, I believe, Harper's Magazine. I could be wrong, doesn't matter, but they got like $2,500 advance, which was a lot of money in those days to get going and get the project going. Eventually, the Harper's thing deal fell through. They changed their mind. And then they started a publishing company, AA, called Works Publishing Company, from How It Works. And How It Works, and also from the book of James, Faith Without Works is Dead. And I think this is an example of their faith working. And so they sold shares for $25, which was a lot of money. I don't know if anybody ever got their money back. They printed, I don't know the exact number, but the first thing they did, and I don't know if it's true, but I heard it, was they sent copies of the book or notices about the book to all the doctors in the United States, because they thought doctors would really like this to use in their patients. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounds good. But they did get some replies and requests for the books from some doctors' wives for their husbands. And so it was very slow going. I'm not going to go through all the history of how the book got going, but there were a few circumstances that were important. They were able to have a dinner with John D. Rockefeller and these leaders of business, I believe in early 1941. Bill thought, this is our chance. We're going to get money. We're going to be famous. Rockefeller thought this was great, but he said money will ruin this. He only gave him $1,000 or $2,000, and he said, you carry this message. And then that became more acceptable, AA. Then there was a famous baseball player for the Cleveland Indians, a catcher who sobered up. And that really made an impact with AA in the news. There was an article by the Saturday Evening Post. They were going to do an expose on AA and how it was a cult. And he wrote something about, I can't remember the name of it, but it was talking about God, something about God. And I'm sorry, I can't remember that. You can see the original article in Dr. Bob's house. Dr. Bob's house was on the corner. And it's exactly as it was the time when Dr. Bob died, and then Ann Smith, the AA, purchased the house. They have the original third step room upstairs where the meetings were in the downstairs. They made it into like an open garage underneath, and they have a store where you could buy really neat stuff about AA. And you can still go up to the third step room. I get emotional, I think about it, and you can say the third step prayer there. And they had the original prayer that Dr. Bob had on the bed. And I remember doing that. It was a Saturday. And then I didn't know that my son was going to die the next week, you know? But I think God was preparing me. He was getting me ready to handle all that with him. It was really neat. And they bought the house next door. And it's a row house on, I think it's Ardmore Avenue. I probably have it wrong. But they bought the house next door, AA, or whoever purchased it. They have all the AA memorabilia, pictures of the original members, all the articles, all sorts of really, really powerful stuff. So it's kept, it's archived there. So this book came out, and we start with the cover. When we start with our study of the book, we go through A Vision for You. And this year I added the lost chapters, and we got a lot out of it. And in fact, I was reading Two Employers again, and I really think that's a chapter I should read with my sponsees, because it's really powerful in the message and how AA envision you working with someone and what they envision the new person doing. Anyway, and then we finished with A Vision for You, and we're starting over. So this is a Saturday morning for people listening on the podcast. On Wednesday nights, we're on the 10th step, and on Sunday, we're on the 4th step. We're different parts of the book. And on the cover, it says, quoting from Alcoholics Anonymous on the original cover, "Those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day. Many could recover if they had the opportunity we have enjoyed." That's why they wrote this. This is the message. This is the message that they wanted to send to the world. This was their 12th step to the world. And it says, how should we present that which has been so freely given us? That's a good question. So it says, we have concluded to publish an anonymous volume, and they go dot, dot, dot. And I believe that's on page 29 in the big book, but it might be now. See, I have two different copies of the big book, two different pages. It's on page, it's in there as a solution. And, I don't know now. Now I've lost my mind. And, wait, I wrote it down in this notebook. It's page 19, I believe. Page 19. It says, how shall then we present that which has been so freely given us? The problem is the pages in the original big book are different because someone decided in 1955 that doctor's opinion should be like a appendix in the front. But the big book here, the first page is doctor's opinion, which, and I don't know why they would have changed it. I heard, but I don't know if it's true, you hear these things, that they thought that everything in the page numbered should be by an alcoholic. And the man who gave us the problem and described our problem to us, they didn't want him to have a number. They gave him Roman numerals, which I think has harmed a lot of people because they don't read. They start with page one, you know. If it's not page one, why read it? Well, it says, we have concluded to publish an anonymous volume setting forth the problem as we see it. So they gave the problem of alcoholism to the world as they saw it. And before this book was written, the problem was not well understood. They knew we were sick, and they knew we weren't really good people, and they thought we were weak-willed, and we did things that were insane, and they couldn't understand it. But they didn't understand the problem. We shall bring to the task our combined experience. So that's what this book is, experience and knowledge. You can't argue with the book. You may not like the book. You may not like God. You hear all these things. But this is their experience. You can't argue with their experience. And it's a testimony. Anybody know of a book that's a testimony that people like? Anybody heard of the New Testament? And so this is a testament, a testimony of their vision, their experience. And so you may not like it. You don't even have to read it. You don't have to do what it says. They don't care. They're giving you their experience now and knowledge. And then here's what they suggest. This should suggest. This is like a parachute is suggested if you're jumping out of an airplane. And it's also suggested that if you have the parachute, you pull the cord. Now, we give this book to a lot of new people, and they've jumped out of the plane. And they don't realize that if they open this book and do what's in it, it's the same as pulling the parachute. They can't see it. They can't see their situation. A useful program for anyone concerned with a drinking problem. So that's what they put on the cover. I hope people find this exciting. I find it really interesting. And they say you could order this book on a free examination basis. And you can pay the few extra cents money return cost. Examine for 7 days, and if not satisfied, the book will be helpful. And not satisfied, the book will be helpful. Return of money will be refunded. And so that's the cover of the original big book. Now, the cover of the third edition, I don't have the second edition, has this is the third edition of the big book, new and revised, and it says the basic text for AA. And it has a circle and the triangle. And if it's a text, that tells me something. It's a textbook. A textbook is someone conveying information they have about some situation or topic to the reader, so the reader will share their knowledge and experience of it. And it's to be read and studied as a textbook. And then the circle and the triangle, they don't use it anymore. They lost the copyright on it or something, is Unity Service and Recovery. And then I wrote a thing on the site on it, on the circle and the triangle. So if you get on the site, experiencethebigbook.org, I wrote about its significance, how it's an ancient symbol, and how you need all three sides of the triangle, but the bottom is the recovery. And then if you have unity and service, you'll keep the recovery together. So that's the third edition. The first page of the big book, I think, has really spiritual significance. Everybody see it? Why? It's blank. Now, why is that of tremendous spiritual significance? Because what it tells me, and I didn't realize, but I heard a speaker talk about this, they want you to let go of everything you think you know when you start this book. And they want to make your mind open to new ideas. Remember, it says if we let go of old ideas, the result, if we don't let go, is nil. They want you to let go of all your prejudices, all your old ideas, when you start the book. Now, I don't know if that's what their intent, but that's how I see it. And then it's interesting. This is the first page with writing on it, and it says something interesting, Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, a lot of people talk about the big book, and they forget that it's named Alcoholics Anonymous. The book was named Alcoholics Anonymous. The fellowship took its name from the big book. And the first group to start that was in Cleveland, Ohio, with Clarence Snyder, and he took the name AA from the book. And then that's how it is. So in the beginning, AA was the book, the steps, and the fellowship. It was all one. And the name Alcoholics Anonymous, I've heard a lot of stories on how it came to be. They were going to do the way out and this and that. And somebody I heard, and I don't know if it's true, that somebody came to one of the meetings and they said, called Anonymous Alcoholics. And then they changed that and they adopted the name Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, the other first page is Alcoholics Anonymous, and it has, in squiggly writing, the story of. And it's a story of more than 100 men who have recovered from alcoholism. Now, The book went to the printer before they had their first woman. And so you'll see in the foreword to the first edition, it says 100 men and women. But in the original book, this had already gone. Next week, I'm going to go over the original manuscript, which I have here, and some of the changes in it. And that's powerful as well. And story is in squiggly writing. And I thought about that because, you know, it says in chapter into action, we tell in step five our life story. And it's a story of how people have recovered from alcoholism. So it's their story of what happened to them, what it was like, what happened, and what they're like now. And so it's just their story. Now, you don't have to agree with it or like it and all, but if you want what they have, you'll do what they did. So this isn't a program of telling anybody what they must do. It's a program telling you what they suggest you do if you want what they had. Now, if you have a way to recover from alcoholism, write your own book. You know, or do it yourself. You have a plan of action that you like, you think it's going to work out. Everybody comes in here with a plan when they're new. It's always interesting to hear them. But what AA tells you is your plan didn't work. And if your plan, you're convinced that your plan for life is never going to work, try this. And then all they say is, try this and then tell us your experience. And that's what we're supposed to be doing at meetings. We're supposed to tell people what we did and how our life has changed. And so it's not a program for people who are seeking half measures. It's for people who are desperate and have no other way out. And so then it has the table of contents. And it's interesting, if you look in your big book at your table of contents, it has the foreword. And then it has doctor's opinion, page one. But the first chapter in this is one Bill's story. So that's how they did it in the big book. Now, the way the book is laid out, it tells you the problem in doctor's opinion. And Dr. Silkworth didn't sign it in the original big book. It says blank, blank, MD. I've heard a lot of reasons why he didn't do that, but one of them I heard was that he wrote his observation of alcoholism, and he wasn't sure if it would be accepted by the medical profession. But the thing that I understand is that what he wrote in the doctor's opinion, this letter, this information, he sent to the New England Journal of Medicine, and I think it was published in New England Journal of Medicine, which is the most prominent medical journal. So it was accepted. Somebody accepted. In the second edition, he writes his, puts his name. And then Bill's story is someone who had the problem in doctor's opinion, and then what happened to him and what he did and what the change in him. And then they go to There's a Solution, which talks more about the problem. It talks about the inability to control how much we drink, and that ends in about page 23 in the new big book. And then it talks about the obsession of the mind, and then it gives you the solution on page 25. And it describes Dr. Young and Roland Hazard and how he came to America and we're here today. Then they knew that we weren't going to be excited about this, so they wrote another chapter more about alcoholism. Now, why they put that in there? You know everything about alcoholism, don't you? You're an alcoholic. But what they're driving home, and we have to have this, and we have to understand this, is that right before we drink, our mind has no power to see the truth about it if we're alcoholics, when our own power, ever. And so they give you four examples of people who drank, and right before they drank, they couldn't see what it was going to do to them, only for them. Anybody relate to that? And then the last paragraph of more about alcoholism, it says, we have no defense, no human defense. It must come from a higher power. And then they talk about we agnostics. They're going to talk about God now. So they're getting you ready to hear about the power which they call God and how you're going to have to change your mind about God, because God offers the solution and the power. And on that famous page, it says lack of power was our dilemma. Anybody remember that? we had to have a power to live. It must come a power higher than ourself, right? We've all heard that. And then it says we're going to talk about God. And it says you may not like it, but we're going to do it because this is the power. And so it becomes the not drinking book changes on page 44 to the God book and how we find the power. Because we really can't change our bodies, and we can't fix our mind, right, so that we don't drink. And we have to now talk about God and our relationship with God and active contact with God that gives us the power to live. And then how it works, we read every meeting. If you notice, it's on the fifth chapter. So we read it off of a card at a lot of these meetings. I think new people, I don't even think they know where it is in the book. And how it works is the fifth chapter. There's a lot of work that's gone into the alcoholic before they get to how it works. You have to really accept step one and step two. And then how it works goes through again in those two pages, steps one and two, and then outlines the steps. And then the steps were written one night at midnight by Bill W. after prayer and meditation. He didn't know how he was going to put the Oxford Group steps, how he was going to put it all together. And then you can hear him talk about this on the internet. He gives a talk about how the big book and how he prayed, and then he wrote it all. And then when he got done, there were 12 steps. He wrote those three pages in like 30 or 40 minutes. Then there was a lot of discussion why if God only had 10 commandments, we had 12 steps, and why the Oxford Group had 5 or 6 steps and we had 12. You know, alcoholics, everybody has an opinion. But it works, and the steps work. And then that has step 3 and 4, and then into action is steps. The action is steps 5 through 11, and then a whole chapter on working with others. And then to wives and the family afterward, and to employers, really have a lot of information on really working with others, a lot more about alcoholism in the program, and then a vision for you, and then it ends. And so it's laid out as a textbook, the problem, the solution, and the program of action. I copied this forward, and the reason I did is we have it in the new edition, but the foreword of the first edition, it says, we are Alcoholics Anonymous, more than 100 men and women have recovered. Notice the word recovered. I wondered, why did they use the word recovered? Why didn't they say recovering? Well, I don't know. Nobody knows. But what did they mean by recovered? Well, one thing I thought, knowing Bill W. and those guys, recovered sounds much more impressive than recovering. But I think recovered to them meant that you're no longer, your mind is no longer victim of your alcoholism. And what I talk about recovered here is on page 85 in the 10th step when it says the problem has been removed, right? We're in a position of neutrality. We've worked steps 4 through 9. We're in a relationship with God. And it says how we react to alcohol if I'm in fit spiritual condition. So to me, recovered means that I'm in fit spiritual condition at that moment. And then step 10 is how we stay in fit spiritual condition all day long. But if you notice, it says to show other alcoholics, and here is in big print precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. I think this should be read at every meeting. I think this should be read at every meeting, that we have a book to show how precisely how we have recovered.
Mike, I know you're on the podcast, but because you pointed us to There's a Solution, in the second sentence there, well, it says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were just as hopeless as Bill, nearly all have recovered. And I just noticed that because you had pointed that out.
Yeah, and they use that. I found the one thing I wanted to mention, in the fourth edition, they made a change, which... a lot of people really didn't like. It says on the cover, this is 2001, and I think this is how the fellowship and the program changed. And remember, we had treatment centers at this time. We had 90 meetings in 90 days. We had a lot of things. It says AA members fond title for their basic test, and they're talking about how it reached 300 in the time of the third edition. They had 1 million copies, and then it says the basic text, pages 1 to 164, and look at this, which had been the foundation of recovery for so many alcoholics, remains and so remains. So what was the new foundation of recovery? And this tells us why we have the type of meetings we have today. It changed. What had been, nothing changed. Was there a new program of recovery? Well, there was. There's 90 meetings in 90 days. Meeting makers make it. All sorts of stuff you hear. There's nothing wrong with that. But to me, only for me, I can't speak for you. With what I have, I needed to have this book. I need to go through it, I need to do the steps, and I need to stay in this solution every day. And I think that's the message that the founders gave us. Then I'm gonna end real quick. I hope this wasn't too boring. Was it interesting?
Very.
All right, it says on page 19 we read, I'm gonna talk a little bit about how in the big book today, it helps. On page 18, they talk about this illness and how horrible it is, how it involves people and their families, it engulfs all who lives suffer. And it says, we hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. There are many, not only the alcoholic, but everybody in the alcoholic's life. And if you read the chapters, the employers of wives, family afterwards, they've thought these spiritual principles should be used by everyone. And I read a review of the big book in Amazon, and the guy wrote that in 100 years, everybody will be reading this book and practicing these principles as a path to God. We'll see if that's true. On page 90, let's see. It says, you're talking to the new prospect, you meet him. At the bottom, it says, if he doesn't want to see you, never force yourself upon him. You see, in the beginning, they went out and found people. And they found people whose wives came to them and said, please help my husband. The difference now is we have people come here because they think there's a solution. They come here and then they go to the meetings and they're not worked one-on-one. Necessarily. I always try to find the new person here and get them connected with someone if they're interested so that they can go through the book. It says, if he does not want it, neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything. I'm sure they do. They should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. And it says, you might place this book where he can see it in the interval. So they felt that this book was really important. It had something powerful in it. On page 94, it talks about, at the top it says, you outline the program of action, telling how you did it, and how you put your welfare of other people ahead of our own. You talk to the newcomer, it says, your candidate may give reasons why he need not follow off the program. Has anybody ever heard of that in AA? People giving reasons why they need not do all of it? He may rebel at the thought of a drastic house cleaning, which requires discussion with other people. We don't have that anymore, do we? No. Do not contradict such views. Tell him you once felt as he does, but you doubt whether you would have made much progress had you not taken action. So we're really talking, when we talk about the big book, is a plan of action that needs to be done. It's not a plan of action that needs to be studied, and you can quote it. That is helpful. But you can quote how it works on the way to the liquor store. What you have to do is do it. And I think that's a difference. Some people come in here and they want to study the big book. They're going to get knowledge. They're going to get smart. Knowledge just makes you a smart drunk. What you need is knowledge of God. You don't need knowledge of yourself or this. You need knowledge of God. We start out agnostics. Remember, those without knowledge of God. We want knowledge of God. What does that mean? It means I have a relationship with God, and I have a new way of looking at things, and I have a power in my life, and the book's result is supposed to be that. So of course you have to study the book, but you have to do it. And you have to keep doing it. We talked about that on Wednesday night, step 10. It's a continuous plan of action. All day long. All day long I have to look at where my self-centeredness is coming out. Any of you have that problem? And I recognize it now, and I try at once to get back on the beam and out of it to God. And I have spiritual tools that I've done in steps 4. It says, on your first visit, tell about the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1939 was different. Everybody who came to the meeting had worked the steps already. You had to take the third step up in the room, and they judged you on whether you were really sincere about it before you could even go to the meetings. And they went through the steps quickly. Why? Because they wanted you to have your relationship with God as soon as possible so you'd have a power in your life, and then they wanted you to be able to go and help someone else. It says, tell him about the fellowship, and if he shows interest, lend him your copy of this book. And then on page 95, it talks about you're talking with the new person. If he's sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, listen to this, he must decide for himself whether he wants to be going on. If he's to find God, the desire must come from within. So I really believe that this is a spiritual book for people who want it, they'll find it, and then if they're willing and they want to seek God, they'll do it. And if you're not willing and seeking God, you're not going to do it. And then I found page 143, let's see, is that right? I'm getting old. Oh, page 142, it says, you're talking, this is to employers, they're talking to the employer about the alcoholic. Whether you mention this book or not is a matter for your discretion. They felt this book had the information that the new person would need. Then I think I wrote the, it says page 143, to return to the subject matter of this book, it contains full suggestions by which the employee may solve his problem. Suggestions again. Now remember, they used directions in the original manuscript. I'll talk about that next week, and they changed it to suggestions so that we wouldn't fight it. Alcoholics don't like to take directions except from themselves. And that's why they come here, right? Because they've been directing their thinking. To use some of the ideas which this book contains are novel. Perhaps you're not quite in sympathy with the approach we suggest. By no means do we offer the last word of the subject. But so far as we're concerned, it has worked with us. So the reason this is published and this is so powerful is this is something that we know works. And they tell you that rarely have we seen a person fail, it's they only followed our path. If you follow their path, what was their path? Their path was the steps. And it's a path to God. Then in that same page 144, they talk about the doctor tell the patient the truth. It says, when the man is presented with his volume, it is best that no one tell him he must abide by his suggestions. So we really shouldn't preach, although I guess I do sometimes. It says, the man must decide for himself. In other words, I can't make anybody do this. How do I know if somebody's taken the first step for me? Are they willing to do whatever we suggest? And if you do it, you suggest something, and a week later they have all these reasons, well, they're not completely defeated. See, hitting bottom to me was complete defeat. I talked about it on the site. Complete defeat that I had any way to fix my life. I was completely powerless. I asked God for help, and I was willing to do anything. And that takes me back. I missed a page. It says on page 20, and this is really important. It says, you may have asked yourself why some of us became so very ill from drinking. You're reading the book, you're curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion, they had recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Are you still convinced that you have a hopeless condition of mind and body? Well, I still have a hopeless condition of mind and body on my own. And it says, if you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? Now, I've worked with a lot of people, and I've never seen anybody who's new come in and say, what do I need to do? And if you suggest something, sometimes they'll say yes, but a lot of times they'll think about it. I tell this story, it's true. A lot of people come here, they think this is the greatest meeting. They tell me how great I am and all this other crap. And they've never heard the message so good, and they're almost tearful, and they're so full of joy that they came here. I said, good, come Wednesday night, 7:30. Oh, no, I have bowling or I have something. It's so interesting how alcoholics, so it says, if you're alcoholic, when you get over, you may be asked, what do I have to do? And it says, it's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. So if you're here and you have a hopeless condition, mind and body, and you want to know what to do, that's the purpose of this book. It answers the questions specifically. They're not like, there's very specific instructions in this book. And it says, before we shall tell you what we have done. And like Joe and Charlie say, and it's powerful, they say, you know, the 12 steps are a cake. It's an AA cake. And it has certain instructions on how to make the AA cake. And this book tells you how to make the AA cake that they had. Now that AA cake that they made will work. But they said, now you can't change the ingredients and you can't change the directions because then you'll have your own cake. You see, and your own cake won't work. So, I know I've talked too long today. Nobody will come back next week. I'm going to do one more page. It's a 153. And I'll end with this. Look what they say in A Vision for You, which is really, if you didn't listen to the podcast on A Vision for You, you might want to get on them. Especially last Saturday was really powerful when we finished A Vision for You. It says, our hope is that when this chip of a book, is launched on the world tide of alcoholism, defeated drinkers, it doesn't say drinkers. Notice the word defeated drinkers, because if you're not defeated, then they won't seize it. But defeated drinkers will seize upon it, follow its suggestions, rise to their feet and march on, approach to other sick ones, and fellowships of AA may spring up in each city and hamlet, havens for those who must find a way out. See the vision. And to some extent, that's really come true. Look at the people. There are probably more, as many people in the meeting today as were sober when the big book was written. Think about it. So anyway, I know I went too long, but I thought it was good. I really enjoyed putting all this together. Now, next week, I'm going to look at the original manuscript, which I have here, and it's the way it went to the printer with all the cross-outs and all the changes, and I'm going to give you some more history about the book. So thank you for your time.